Would you turn in your Bible to Luke, the first chapter? I'm going to begin reading from verse 26. Would you follow along? When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." And then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen, since I haven't had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman who was labeled unable to conceive is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." And then the angel left her. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her." Mary said, "With all my heart I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servants. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone, from one generation to the next, who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abram and to Abram's descendants forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here in your house. As you fill us with grace, help us to be able to offer grace to others. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. I'm the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church. I'm really glad that you're here. We're in a new sermon series looking at how we can rediscover the joy of Christmas. In your bulletin, you'll find a GPS, a Grow, Pray, and Study guide. Everyone in our church has been challenged to develop a quiet time. That GPS, that last part of it talked about study. 300 years ago, the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, said that study is one of those means of grace by which God comes to us. When we're studying God's word, we're reading Christian material that's helping us learn more about what the journey of a Christian looks like. It opens our minds and our hearts to the Holy Spirit. I hope that you've taken up this challenge of having a daily quiet time in your own life. Christmas and the season of Advent doesn't just focus on the joy of the birth of Christ on Christmas Eve. It also remembers how dark the world was before the birth of Christ, that it was a brutal world. It was a world that had a few of the powerful and pretty much everybody else who was living their life in fear and intimidation. The people of Nazareth were no different than that. And if you were born into a family in poverty, in some ways you had to feel trapped. There really was no upward mobility. You were just in a situation where you would spend your life, which would typically be a pretty short life, trying to eke out a living, maybe have a family if you were so blessed, and then depart. From dust we come and from dust we depart. That part of the story is very important because it helps us appreciate what the birth of Christ means. I saw a movie a while ago. It helped remind me of the Christmas story, although it won't be that apparent because there's no sleigh bells and no Santa Claus in this movie. There is a part of it, and see if you can pick up on it. The very beginning of the story is telling the true story in 2010 of the 33 Chilean miners who were trapped 2,000 feet underground for over 2 months. Would you give your attention to the screen?
This is why we are here. Yeah, I can taste it. Copper and gold. 1,200 an ounce. Take it. Take it.
Cholo, you want to stick that in your pocket for your mama?
What did you say?
Everyone knows that Bolivians are a bunch of thieves.
He's stupid, you know that? Chile stole this land after the war of 1881. Who are the thieves?
That was 1881, you know.
For 2 months, they spent underneath the ground, and nobody knew whether they were actually alive. When they got to the place called the refuge, really none of the equipment that was supposed to be there was there. They had no way of communicating to the surface. They had very little food supplies. The leader rationed out the food. It was a desperate situation. Sometimes violence would break out amongst the miners because they were so depressed about their circumstances. I think there are a lot of people that can relate to that feeling. Certainly, I think the people of Nazareth must have felt that way. People of Nazareth, there's actually a phrase in the Bible, can anything good come from Nazareth? It was a backwater town in Israel. It was 4 miles away from a town called Sepphoris. Sepphoris was the exact opposite of Nazareth. The people of Nazareth most likely were the street sweepers and the nannies, the cooks, the maids for the people in Sepphoris. Archaeological dig shows huge villas on the hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee, a large Roman Greek type of theater, large market. None of the things that you find in Nazareth, all of that was found in Sepphoris. And yet God chose to send the angel to Nazareth, not to Sepphoris. And this is actually a very consistent theme in the scriptures, that God will bring God's joy to the humble. In verse 28, said, when the angel came to her, he said, rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you, even in Nazareth, even in your desperate situation. I think this is a theme that we all want to remember as we're going through our lives, that humility before God, and as we go through our life, is a very good quality to have. The humility doesn't mean that you think less of yourself. It just means that you think less about yourself. And you think more about ways that you can serve and give and help and lift up other people. In that, there is the rich life. Part of the theme of of the Christmas story is the lifting up of the lowly and the bringing down of the powerful. In Jesus' time, this was the Roman Empire, and this was Herod the Great. These were the people that had the power. The Romans had propaganda that they had spread throughout their empire that they had brought peace. Well, that peace came with an iron fist. They crushed anybody that had a different opinion than them. This was not a democracy. And Herod the Great was even worse than the Romans. He lived above the law. He was married, but he wanted to get a different wife, so he sent her away. He got the second wife, then he got jealous of her, so he put her to death. He had 3 sons, two of his sons he had put to death because he was afraid that they were after his throne. He would have put the third one to death, but he died too soon. He had 10 wives. One of them was his niece, another was his cousin. These are the people that ran Israel when the baby Jesus was born. And one of the things in Mary's song that you don't want to miss after she's notified that she's going to be giving birth to the Messiah, verses 51 through 53, God has shown strength with his arm. God has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. God has pulled down the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. God does take sides. I don't think it's so much rich or poor. I think it's proud, arrogant, humble, lowly. I think that's the difference. What God's looking for are people that have humble hearts. People who are willing to carry out the ministry of Christ in their own setting of life. Those are the ones that will be blessed. Those are the ones that will be used. One of the challenges when you're reading the Christmas story or any part of the Bible is how does it translate into today's culture? Where in our world today do you see the lowly being lifted up and the proud and the arrogant being brought low? I think we see it every day in the news right now. The whole sexual harassment, the Me Too movement, are one of those times when those who think that they're getting away with something aren't getting away really with anything. And those who felt like they were trapped in darkness and silence with this horrible secret are having that brought to light. I'm a man who's married to a woman and we have four daughters. And to sit down and to talk to them and to find out that many of them have already had these experiences is just another reminder of this isn't just a women's movement. A lot of this has to do with Christian men speaking up to other men and saying they're being creeps. To realize that any woman that's being treated this way, it might not be our daughter or our wife, but it's somebody's daughter, it's somebody's wife, it's somebody's niece, it's someone's cousin. And God isn't playing both sides of the fence. God has clearly made it clear to all of us which side we should be on. This reversal that you see in the Roman Empire, where 300 years later, Christianity overwhelms the Roman Empire without a navy, without an army, just overwhelms it with the love of Christ, the service of Christ, the humble hearts of these people, is a message that we all need to heed in our own lives and listen to. No matter what kinds of success that we have, no matter what positions that we get into. Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, Kevin Spacey. They think that there are 20 congressmen that are under investigation right now. It isn't just politics, it isn't just entertainment, it's the church, it's business, it's school, it's the community, the neighborhood. Time magazine chose to, for their person of the year, these silence breakers, people that just spoke up, the lowly, if you will, said, I have a story to tell. I'll bet you most of the women in this church have a story to tell. It's a story that most of us men need to hear. Cheryl, I forgot to write down her name. She's the COO, and I got a cold, so I can't remember anything. She's the COO of Facebook. She wrote an article about this, and she said, as she was rising up the corporate ladder, you know, she never had an underling ever sexually harass her, but she had plenty of bosses that sexually harassed her. For people to use their power, right? When you're given power, it's an opportunity to serve. When you're given a position of leadership, it's an opportunity to serve a larger group of people. It's not a privilege to take things from people. It's an opportunity to give more to people. The theme of Christmas isn't just one of candy canes and Christmas carols. We remember that the world was a dark place and can still be a dark place, and there are people that are trapped in difficult circumstances in their life, but God is reaching out to them, continues to reach out to them. I remember when I first became a Christian, there were two scriptures I was asked to memorize. 1 Corinthians 1:27-28, but God chose what the world considers foolish to shame the wise. Doesn't it sound like Mary, Elizabeth, Joseph? God chose what the world considers weak to shame the strong, Nazareth. And God chose what the world considers low class and low life, what is considered to be nothing, to reduce what is considered to be something to nothing. Combine that with 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 5 and 6. And everyone clothe yourselves with humility toward each other. God stands against the proud. God's taking sides here. God stands against the proud, the self-sufficient, but God gives favor to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under God's power so that he may raise you up on the last day. There is a place where our heart needs to be, and that is knelt before the cross of Christ. And when we're getting a little too full of ourselves and a little too self-sufficient, maybe we need to spend a little bit more time in a kneeling position, thanking God, being grateful to God, and realizing that these positions that we've been given in our life are to protect, to serve, to help, to care for, to lift up, not take. And maybe it isn't just a sexual harassment issue. Maybe you feel trapped in something else. Maybe it's a dead-end job. Maybe it's in a relationship that's really struggling. Maybe it's trying to parent kids and you're not really finding that magic recipe that's helping that kid find the path that you'd hope them to find. God hasn't forgotten about you. That's what I think the 33 reminded me about Christmas, even though it has nothing to do with Christmas. The ending, it says a lot to me about Christmas. Would you give your attention to the screen?
Here's something. Someone's alive.
Shut down the generators.
Could be rock fall.
Stethoscope.
Here.
You sure it wasn't there before?
Definitely not, sir.
There's something there.
Where?
This message comes to us from the depths of the earth, from the very hands of our miners. We are all well in the refuge, the 33.
Something about that, that drill coming down is like the arm of God bringing Christ. And that shaft of light is like the Star of Bethlehem, bringing redemption and salvation. It may take time, but God will lift up the lowly, and God will bring down the arrogant. And for us in this church, the lesson is clear: to choose a place where we prostrate our heart before God and look forward to the opportunity every day to use whatever position that we've been given in life to serve in the name of Jesus Christ and to not take. Amen.